lot of the country, but they say it's not going to last a lot longer.
Heat advisory now in effect for western Mississippi and also slightly east of I-55. But there is some relief on the way for the weekend.
Even though the temperatures may not be all that much cooler, they'll be a little bit closer to normal, but the humidity levels will be way down compared to what they will be the next couple of days.
Brad Bryant at the Weather Service office in Jackson says a cold front will push into the state late tomorrow, but heat index readings in the triple digits will be common in Mississippi again today. Yesterday, Cleveland briefly hit 113, and the heat index in Columbus reached 110. Randy Bell in Jackson.
And I'm John DeMaster with USA Radio News. You can get breaking news at usaradio.com.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. I mean, you know, I love him.
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
A very sad search and recovery mission ends at Disneyland. USA Radio's Chris Barnes has the details of the tragedy in Florida.
We recovered the remains of the two-year-old from the water.
Orange County, Florida's Sheriff Jerry Deming says the family of a toddler boy who was dragged into the water at Disney World by an alligator is distraught but somewhat relieved that authorities have located the body of their son.
That body has now been turned over to the Orange County Medical Examiner's Office for an autopsy.
Deming says wildlife officials are now trying to make sure they capture the alligator that attacked the boy, who is believed to have drowned as his body was found intact. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
We are learning there are threats against New York City's gay community. We get details from Scott Pringle.
There were notes left on car windshields in Hell's Kitchen targeting gays, saying the priority is to kill homosexuals. Also threatening phone calls to gay bars. Police Commissioner Bill Bratton says none of the threats appear to be credible.
We treat it very seriously. To the best of our ability, we'll seek to investigate every one of those.
And there will be an increase in police presence at the city's annual gay pride parade on June 26th. Scott Pringle, New York.
First-time jobless claims are up sharply. The Labor Department reporting this morning that 277,000 people filed initial claims for unemployment benefits last week. That's 13,000 more than the previous week. And this is USA Radio News, powered by USARadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll have my thoughts on the tragedy in Orlando and tips on how you can survive an active shooter situation. I'll also be talking about what low unemployment means for small businesses, the signs your business might be held for ransom, and what you can do about it, and why Verizon might not want to hear from their old spokesman anymore. It's Thursday, June 16th, 2016, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
Business every day, taking care of business.
Taking care of business, it's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But as always, before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows the temperature is currently 71 degrees at 12:04, and the forecast shows that today we'll have a few showers hanging around. This afternoon, followed by cloudy skies and a high of 74 with a low of 57. For tomorrow, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 78 and a low of 50. Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny and clear with a high of 81 degrees and a low of 50. And for Sunday, we're going to have abundant sunshine with a high of 83 degrees and a low of 57. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently down 84.72 to 17,555.45. NASDAQ down 42.04 to 4792.89. S&P 500 down 12.88 to 2,058.62. Oil is down $1.64 to $46.37 per barrel, and gold down $23.80 to $1,312.10 per ounce. Well, as I mentioned, you are listening to Taking Care of Business. It's Thursday. It's a little after noon o'clock, and that can only mean one thing. Everybody stop what you're doing and pay attention. It's time once again for another edition of Taking Care of Business. Before we get going with today's program, I do want to give a shout out to a buddy of mine, Ryan Zaborowski, who is a junior at Bridgewater Raritan High School. Very proud of this kid. He'll be competing next week at the Skills USA competition, which is going to be held in Kentucky. Ryan is in the plumbing category. He won for the state of New Jersey a few months back and then qualified for nationals. So he will be packing up the toolbox and heading to Kentucky to compete against close to 6,000 people in the competition in various trade fields, carpentry, electrical, plumbing, etc. And as I mentioned when I filled out my sponsorship form for Ryan, Ryan, buddy, go flush the competition. So all good. Apologize, I haven't been here for 2 weeks. It's been a crazy little time in my life, heading back and forth to New York City, visiting with some doctors, trying to figure out what the heck is going on and why the surgery that I had had last year apparently either didn't work or wasn't necessary, but finally figured out what the problem is, what the pain is caused from. Apparently, I have a pinched nerve in five places in my neck, and somehow, because the hip bone's connected to the knee bone and all that nonsense, it's causing a ton of pain in my left hand. But now, with physical therapy, a couple of injections in a couple of weeks, and hopefully we'll be able to push off surgery, and then I can just constantly be here on Thursdays to do this show. So I do apologize for the interruption in the promotion here of the program. Glad, hopefully, that you enjoyed the replays of the Fimble Architectural Door interview and the OnDeck Lending Service interview. And hopefully we'll be able to get back into a regular routine with the program. Now, I say all that, and I think I have to tell you that I will be out next week as well. So, but we'll let you know as the week progresses whether or not we'll be able to do the program and what the regular schedule will be. Have a guest in the studio with me today. So we have a new show coming on board. Let's swing this down for a minute and put you on the spot. So if you can grab that mic, and I believe that's mic four. I'll put them up. All right. So why don't we tell the listeners who you are and what the show's about and when it will be airing.
The program, I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan of mm-hmm. Rustmore Mentoring Group, and the show I expect to air sometime in the first part of July. And the program is entitled Teachable Moments in the Real World of Business. Having a background for many years in coaching business owners and studying topics such as marketing, selling skills, and having owned my own business for 40 years, I've learned an awful lot, and I'd like to share that information with the audience. I will be interviewing a number of business people on a number of topics. It could be guerrilla marketing, it could be customer relationship management, trade show and expo management. In fact, I'll be asking Laura Cummins to come in here.
Excellent.
And talk to us about the expo, which will be held in November. So there's a lot in store, and I look forward to the opportunity to sharing this information with the audience.
Very good. And one of the things you're going to find from our listeners as you develop a loyal fan base, which you know this show has done along the way, is you will find that people come to look forward to that program and, you know, for the
the golden nuggets that you'll be able to provide. And so, again, encouraging all our listeners to tune in to Vicki Lynn Morgan's program. Do you have a time slot yet?
I think it may be on a Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4, but I have to get that verified.
Very good. So we'll keep you posted on when her program is coming on board sometime in July. And then, again, anytime, and I feel very strongly about this, anytime that business owners can get together, share ideas about what works in your business, then I think we're on the right path. But so many times when you're in the arena and you're working on your business every day and you just don't have time for, you know, sometimes you don't have time for marketing. Sometimes you don't have time to update your Facebook page and your social media. And when that happens, then you become a little bit stale. And as a result, people start looking other places. So hopefully he'll have some great advice for you on that. I reported a couple weeks ago about the new chip credit cards and how if you own a business and you accept credit cards and you're still using the same old credit card reader, the one that doesn't have the customer insert the card into the chip reader, you could be on the hook for the entire balance of the transaction if it turns out to be fraudulent. So if you haven't updated your point of sale technology, you should do so as soon as possible. Now, last year, EMV chip technology rolled out in America and banks started issuing the new credit cards to consumers. In order to encourage businesses to accept the new chip-based credit cards, Visa, MasterCard, and American Express shifted liability for fraudulent charges to some business owners. As of October 1st, 2015, liability for in-store counterfeit fraud shifted to the person or business that had not adopted the new credit card technology. So if your small business does not support EMV, you could be on the hook to pay for the fraudulent charges, and that's a significant burden for small businesses. Now, I'm not trying to be too sensationalist, but whether you're a merchant or issuer, if you're one of the last to switch, fraudsters will find you because they know you're one of the last terminals to be upgraded. And that came from Troy Bernard, who's the director of EMV and emerging products at the CPI Card Group. They always find the path of least resistance. So you want to contact your merchant processor or shop around for EMV-enabled equipment. If you recently did switch over, you may find you need to educate both your employees and customers about the new system. There could be a need for some customer training as they get used to the transaction times at checkout, Bernard said. EMV transactions take a little longer than traditional magnetic stripe credit cards. MasterCard and Visa are working to speed up the process, said Bernard. So if you've ever been to Home Depot, you know that now when you, instead of swiping your card, you're going to insert it and you have to leave it in the machine until it's done processing. Yes, sometimes customers may get a little upset because they're waiting around even after the transaction is completed for the machine to complete the transaction. But I think it's worth the extra security of knowing that the transaction is secure. Currently, it's 12:12. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntedInChamberRadio.com. Well, over the past 3 or 4 years, unemployment has been coming down. At one point, about 8 years ago, we were at 10% unemployment. Now we're under 5%. But what does low unemployment mean for small business hiring? Well, the new federal jobs report shows the U.S. economy is continuing its recovery from the Great Recession. Unemployment dropped to 4.7% in May, the lowest it's been since November of 2007. And although job growth this year has been disappointing, just 38,000 new jobs were added in May, it was the 75th consecutive month of private sector job growth, according to U.S. Labor Secretary Tom Perez. The economy has added an average of 150,000 jobs a month in 2016, compared to 230,000 jobs last year. Now, meanwhile, labor force participation dropped slightly in May to 62.6%. Now, that means more businesses are hiring, while at the same time, Americans are participating in the labor force at near historic lows. So what does that mean for small business owners' ability to hire and retain top employees? Well, if you put it in supply and demand terms, it means that more competition for employees. Small businesses with fewer resources are at a disadvantage when competing with employers who can offer generous benefit and salary packages. Average hourly earnings for private employees have climbed 3.2% this year, a promising sign for the economy. Perez wrote on the Department of Labor blog that at this point in a recovery, we expect to see trade-offs between job growth and strong wage growth. So how can a small business compete for talented, reliable employees in a tightening labor market? Well, small employers need to take a hard look at the earnings potential and the intangible benefits they can offer employees, said Keith Johnstone, who's the marketing manager of Peak Sales Recruiting. The North American agency recruits salespeople for placement in small, medium, and large companies. Top performers want to work for companies that are leaders in their markets, offering strong earning and career growth potential, said Johnstone. For small companies who lack the benefits or brand recognition of being a Fortune 500 employer, one of the best ways to attract prospective candidates is to display their track record of growth in job postings. Now, let's say, for example, that you're a landscaper or a general contractor trying to boost sales and win big jobs. Johnstone recommends beefing up your hiring efforts by including key client logos in the recruiting process, highlighting your salespeople who are making and exceeding their quotas. Another great way to attract and hire the best talent is to offer prospective candidates more than a better job, said Johnstone. Talented job candidates appreciate the opportunity for advancement. And this is true not only for salespeople, but for all sorts of entry and mid-level professionals. For example, a boutique law office or CPA firm may not be able to pay new associates or support staff as much as bigger firms, but you can counter that by offering candidates a more reliable path to advancement in your small practice. Your business can compete for top professionals and support staff by mapping out a career path model. Professional employees will be attracted by the prospect of being able to work their way up to counsel or partner or spearhead their own projects, and by offering continuing education. Even something as simple as membership in a professional organization or registration for one conference a year will be valued by candidates. Other soft ways to encourage people to join would possibly be bringing in food one day a week and or gym membership. So there's many ways that you can still compete. Finding the top talent will be up to you at the time of the interview process. Coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about more on the right way to interview candidates and how sometimes you can simply just miss the nail head altogether. You think they're perfect during the interview, but when they actually show up to work, it's a whole different person, and how to find out whether or not there's a way to break that cycle. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Currently 12:16. We're going to step away for our first break. When we come back, I'll have my thoughts on the tragedy in Orlando. We'll be right back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton, Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us today.
There's a local paper rolled up in a rubber band. One more sad story's one more than I can stand. Just once, how I'd like to see the headline say, not much to print today, can't find nothing better to say. Because nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd, nobody burned a single building down. Nobody fired a shot in anger, nobody had to die in vain. Sure could use a little good news today.
I don't think truer words have ever been spoken than by that song by Anne Murray, A Little Good News. And we sure could use a little good news today as we come back on the air with another story of another mass shooting. When I heard the headlines Sunday morning, obviously very upsetting to hear that 49 people had lost their lives in the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. So here we go again. This time, Orlando, Florida is the dateline. And being on the air, I've reported stories like this from Columbine, from Virginia Tech, Sandy Hook Elementary, San Bernardino, and many more over the years. And I'm getting really tired of reporting this type of story. And it's amazing and that this still goes on. And the Orlando shooting, the Pulse nightclub shooting, is different, not because of the weapon used, but by the mistakes and the omissions that were made along the way. Now, I'm not going to sit here and debate the Second Amendment. I'm not going to sit here and debate whether or not we should allow assault weapons or anything like that. This isn't the forum for that. And there's going to be very heated, passionate arguments on both sides of the argument that I don't think anyone will ever get right. I can make one prediction, and I know I'll get this right. I'm 55 years old, but I guarantee you that in my lifetime, we will never see the repeal of the Second Amendment. There may be statewide bans on different weapons. Years ago, there was the assault ban, or the assault weapon ban that expired back in 2004. And you may see different versions of that. That's still not what I want to talk about here today. Now, Omar Mateen, the 29-year-old shooter, was twice interviewed by the FBI, and their findings came back as inconclusive as to whether or not he should be placed on a terror watch list. It seems to me that if you get called in for an interview with the FBI, you're already under some level of suspicion. Now you come to find out that a person that can be placed on the no-fly list, but they're still legally able to purchase a gun. So in my mind, if you're on the no-fly list, you should also be on the no-buy list, meaning you can't buy a gun. Years ago, I heard a joke that I think came true this weekend. Someone describing the FBI stood not for Federal Bureau of Investigation, but fit but incompetent. How can you interview somebody twice and not come up with any kind of conclusion that this person is or is not a potential threat and still not watch them? There they go out on the streets. So the FBI failed in this case, and they're going to sugarcoat it, and the government's going to sugarcoat it, and they say that Omar Mateen did nothing suspicious, but the FBI doesn't just go randomly around interviewing people unless they're concerned about something in a person's background. Now, again, many people are going to argue both for and against gun control. Many people will argue for the repeal of the Second Amendment. And I saw a great cartoon the other day of George Washington holding a musket and someone else holding an AR-15, and he goes, that's not what we were talking about. You know, back when the Constitution was written, it was about being able to take up arms in the event of an invasion from the British. It was about protecting your home and property. It had absolutely nothing to do with going into a nightclub and shooting 50 people. Now,
I talked to my father-in-law over the weekend, and this is the first time that I had ever heard him say he was actually concerned to go anywhere for fear that something like this could happen. And there are a lot of soft targets out there. Football stadiums, any place where people gather, such as movie theaters, nightclubs, etc. ISIS wants us to live in fear, and to a certain extent, they are succeeding on this front. As soon as people start wondering whether or not they should go somewhere, ISIS wins. So when people say they are fearful of going to movie theaters and nightclubs and stadiums, so the so-called soft targets, for fear of being attacked, ISIS wins. That's what they want, for you to allow them to disrupt your life and not enjoy what you want to do. My suggestion is to live your life, go to the movies, go to the ball games, go to nightclubs, and of course be wary and vigilant of your surroundings. But here is where I think we as a society fail in these mass shootings. We keep our mouths shut. Now, this shooter's wife says that she feared he was going to do something because he had told her and voiced those threats to her. He had her drive him past the Pulse nightclub, and he was angered, apparently, after seeing two men kissing each other in Miami a few months ago. His father has come out and said that he condemned his son's actions, but he also believes that gays should be punished. And again, so it's like, how can you apologize for one thing and then have that viewpoint in another sentence? But what did the wife do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that is what many people do. Nothing. They don't want to get involved. They don't want to report suspicious activity in case they are wrong. Trust me, I would rather be wrong and say something 99 times out of 100 than be right just once and say nothing, only to see people die. This man's wife could have saved 49 innocent lives from dying Saturday night and scores more from being injured with just one phone call, and still, she did nothing. She is just as guilty as her husband who pulled the trigger, in my book. And to a certain degree, we all, at times, are just as guilty. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey has a commercial that says, "If you see something, say something." What is the worst thing that could happen? You could be wrong. Someone might have been inconvenienced. Maybe you would have to apologize for your suspicions, but what if you were right and did nothing? A few months ago, I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the airport, getting ready to board a flight, and two women were sitting in chairs. A man sat down next to them with a backpack. He sat there for 2 or 3 minutes and then asked the women if they would watch his backpack while he went to the bathroom, which was a good 200 feet away. They nervously said okay, and he walked away. You could tell these women were terrified. You could tell by the look in their eyes. I went up to them and I asked them if they knew the gentleman that left the bag, and they said no. I then went to the gate agent and told them what happened, who in turn called security. Eventually, we all boarded the flight. The gentleman with the backpack never did, so who knows what happened to him? But who knows what might have happened if I said nothing? If you hear someone saying things that are of a threatening nature towards a group of people or a place, you have a duty to report it. As a citizen, as an American, as a human being, if you know that someone's going to harm somebody, you should do something to get in the way of letting that happen. Let the authorities investigate it. Could be nothing, or you might save hundreds of lives in the process. But do something. We all have to be aware of our surroundings, where we are, who is there, escape routes, and exits. We all have to be vigilant. And we all have to say something if we think there is the hint of wrongdoing. And we're never going to get rid of guns in our society. In my lifetime, like I said, I'll predict the Second Amendment will never be repealed. So we have to do everything we can to protect those we love and complete strangers that we've never even met. But when we do nothing, then we're just as guilty as the person pulling the trigger. And as Sergeant Phil Esterhaus used to say on Hill Street Blues,
"That's it, let's roll. Hey. Let's be careful on it."
We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Kelly Sloan.
Search teams have recovered the cockpit voice recorder of the Egypt Air jetliner that crashed in the Mediterranean last month. The Egyptian government says the device has been damaged, but the memory unit appears to be intact. The development comes a day after Egyptian authorities said several main pieces of the Airbus A320's wreckage had been located. The CIA director says ISIS has not been reduced, and the group is still a major threat.
"Despite all our progress against ISIL on the battlefield and in the financial realm, our efforts have not reduced the group's terrorism capability and global reach. reach.
Brennan told the Senate Intelligence Committee this morning that ISIS has a large group of Western fighters who could potentially serve as operatives for attacks in the West. President Obama will be in Orlando today in the aftermath of Sunday's mass shooting at a gay nightclub. Gunman Omar Mateen killed 49 people before being shot dead. The president will have a private visit with the victims' families. This is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by FEMA. Flooding is the nation's most common and costly natural disaster, affecting communities in every state. However, many residents do not take the necessary steps to protect their lives or their properties. David Morstad, Assistant Administrator for Federal Insurance for FEMA, offers three steps you can follow for flood preparedness.
Step one, know your risk. Everyone lives in a flood zone. Step two, be flood smart. Make a plan. Step three, protect what matters. Purchase a flood insurance policy.
Jim Cantor, meteorologist and co-host of AMHQ on the Weather Channel.
Preparing before the next storm hits is the most important thing you can do. The weather can be extreme and is expected to remain active as we transition out of El Nino and into La Nina. It only takes one storm to cause a devastating flood, especially during hurricane season.
Having an emergency plan and protecting not only your family but also your property is important. Talk to your insurance agent to better understand what is covered in your policy. For more, visit floodsmart.com.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business, it's all right, taking care of business and working overtime for help.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Take a quick look at the weather, and again today, a few showers hanging around. They'll clear out by this afternoon. Cloudy skies this afternoon with a high of 74 and a low tonight of 57. For tomorrow, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 78, a low of 50. For Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny and clear with a high of 81 and a low of 50. And for Sunday, we're going to have abundant sunshine with a high of 83 degrees and a low of 57. Sunday is what we're calling Dolly Preparation Day, as I get my 1948 Plymouth Special Deluxe ready to go get a new pair of shoes. She's going to get some new tires, new brakes, and an oil change. And then watch out, because I will be tearing up the roads of Bridgewater riding in Dolly.
Business, every day, taking care of business. Every way we be taking care of business. It's all right, taking care of business. And working overnight.
Well, before the break, I was talking about the shooting in Orlando and how sometimes I think it's more important that rather than arguing about gun control and Second Amendment rights and things like that and politicizing the event, that you speak up and say something. And there's a story out of Santa Monica, California, of three women who did say something and probably prevented a woman from being the victim of a horrible crime in the process. Three women were dining out in Santa Monica, California last Thursday night and apparently spotted a guy slip his table mate a roofie-style drug and rushed to prevent the woman from being raped. Now, as Sonia Ulrich writes on her Facebook page, she and her friends Monica Kenyon and Maria Salter were enjoying happy hour at the Fig restaurant when Kenyon saw the guy pull out a small black vial, hide it under his cell phone, and put something in his female companion's wine while she was in the restroom. After a few, oh my God, what do we do's, writes Ulrich, she went to the restroom and informed the woman. The woman said, oh my God, he's one of my best friends, she explained. They've been working together for over a year and a half. The woman returned to her table as Ulrich's pal Maria notified the manager, which led to a server walking over and the woman ordering sparkling water. Maria noticed him several times clinking his glass to hers to get her to drink the wine in this toasting manner. She played it cool, and with the pair about to leave, Santa Monica police showed up and arrested Michael Sue, 24, on charges involving rape and drugging to commit rape, the Huffington Post reports. Restaurant video backed up Ulrich's accusation, ABC News reports, and other women dining at the Fig restaurant walked over to share their own horror stories with the women. One woman said, it happened to my roommate, while another said, it happened to my sister. As one woman put it, some heroes don't wear capes. Thank you. It happened to me. Thank you. So again, the importance of speaking up, of saying something, of getting involved, of, you know, risking the embarrassment of being wrong, I think sometimes is way more important than saying nothing and having innocent people hurt. Now, we talk about active shooter situations like we had at Columbine, like we had at Sandy Hook, and then at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. There's a group called Ready Houston
who has a great video out. I'm going to play you the audio portion of that. The video is called Run, Hide, Fight. So if you ever look up on YouTube, you can either look up Ready Houston or Run, Hide, Fight video. And this explains what you should do if you ever find yourself in an active situation in the workplace or at a theater or something like that.
It may feel like just another day at the office, but occasionally, life feels more like an action movie than reality. The authorities are working hard to protect you and to protect our public spaces. But sometimes, bad people do bad things. Their motivations are different. The warning signs may vary, but the devastating effects are the same. And unfortunately, you need to be prepared for the worst. If you were ever to find yourself in the middle of an active shooter event, your survival may depend on whether or not you have a plan. The plan doesn't have to be complicated. There are three things you could do that make a difference. Run, hide, fight. First and foremost, if you can get out, do. Always try and escape or evacuate, even when others insist on staying. Encourage others to leave with you, but don't let them slow you down with indecision. Remember what's important, you, not your stuff. Leave your belongings behind and try to find a way to get out safely. Trying to get yourself out of harm's way needs to be your number one priority. Once you are out of the line of fire, try to prevent others from walking into the danger zone and call 911.
Yes, sir.
If you can't get out safely, you need to find a place to hide. Act quickly and quietly. Try to secure your hiding place the best you can. Turn out lights, and if possible, remember to lock doors. Silence your ringer and vibration mode on your cell phone. And if you can't find a safe room or closet, try to conceal yourself behind large objects that may protect you. Do your best to remain quiet and calm. As a last resort, if your life is at risk, whether you are alone or working together as a group, fight. Act with aggression. Improvise weapons. Disarm him. And commit to taking the shooter down, no matter what. Try to be aware of your environment. Always have an exit plan. Know that in an incident like this, victims are generally chosen randomly. The event is unpredictable and may evolve quickly.
slice and give them back?
The first responders on the scene are not there to evacuate or tend to the injured. They are well trained and are there to stop the shooter. Your actions can make a difference for your safety and survival. Be aware and be prepared. And if you find yourself facing an active shooter, there are three key things you need to remember to survive. Run, hide, fight.
So that was the audio portion of a great video brought to us by Ready Houston called Run, Hide, Fight, How to Survive an Active Shooter Situation. So some great tips in there, and a lot of times people don't think that it could happen to them, but there are a lot of unstable people out there in the world, and with the size of office buildings, regardless of the level of security that many office buildings offer, or movie theaters or sporting events or something like that, it's always a good idea to know both your exit strategy and what you can do in order to save your life or the lives of others. So I want to thank the folks from Ready Houston for putting out that video, and hopefully if you get a chance, you can watch that on YouTube. It's called Ready, Hide, Fight, How to Survive an Active Shooter. Well, there are other threats to business, and one of the most current ones right now is what we call being held for ransom. Now, being held for ransom might sound like something from a movie, but in the digital age, criminals have learned how to hold data for ransom, and the primary targets are businesses, hospitals, and other enterprises. Now, this new threat is called ransomware, and ransomware is a malicious piece of software that sneaks onto your computer, and that's via a suspicious email attachment or an infected website link. Once it's on your computer, a hacker has the power to lock up, even encrypt the data stored on your device. Once the hacker has control, they show you a message prompting you to pay a large amount of money to get access to your own files again. Ransomware isn't new, but the threat is growing. The FBI's cyber division reported an increase in ransomware attacks against businesses and organizations in 2015. The number of ransomware incidents and the ensuing damage they cause will grow even more in 2016 if individuals and organizations don't prepare for these attacks in advance, warned the FBI in a recent ransomware awareness campaign. Unfortunately, there's not much law enforcement can do to save your data once you're hit with a ransomware attack. There are, however, steps that you can take to protect your business from ransomware attacks. The first is to back up your files, particularly off-site. Now, as a business owner, you'll likely keep payroll and client account information on your computer, and then though they are readily available for you there, the FBI recommends using an additional method of file storage. If you keep an extra copy of your most important data on a thumb drive, external hard drive, or in a cloud service, you'll be able to access these files even if your computer becomes infected with ransomware. Remember, just because someone has the treasure chest doesn't necessarily mean they have the treasure. You also want to update your software. Manufacturers release new versions of their software often, and these almost always include improvements to your device's security. In some cases, updates are released for the sole purpose of patching security holes. Technology is always advancing, so keep pace with what is current to fortify your digital weak points. The FBI recommends setting up your malware and antivirus software to automatically update and run scans on your business computers. You also want to be suspicious of wary of any suspicious emails. So be cautious of opening emails that you weren't expecting from a friend or coworker, especially if it looks like spam. Files with an extension of .exe, which are executable files, could be hiding in the email. Unless you recognize the sender as a trusted friend or brand, it's best to ignore possible spam. Even maybe call them if you say, "Did you send me this?" Number four, you want to implement good digital policies for your employees. Well-trained employees are your first line of defense against cyber attacks, so warn them to follow the email guidelines. Ransomware is sophisticated, sometimes coming disguised as an attached invoice or scanned document, so urge your staff to be skeptical of anything they aren't expecting to receive. You should also restrict administrative access to only those employees who need access to privileged accounts. The reason I bring that story up is, again, many businesses don't do backups. Many businesses are pretty lax in their security. Some have been told by their IT professionals don't run these regular updates. It only slows down the computer. I use
an offsite storage company that will store my information in four different locations. So that gets backed up every night. So if I were ever hit with a ransomware attack, if I had to, I'd just buy a new computer, download my files, and be up and running again within 24 hours. So again, this is something. This is the world we live in now, and many hospitals have been hit with ransomware, paying millions of dollars to get their computers unlocked in ransom. And I know one hospital in Florida paid over $12 million to the hackers so that they could get their patient files back up and running. Imagine being a hospital and not being able to access your patient files. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for our last break of the day. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to boost your Google search ranking with local content. We'll be right back.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano. I'll be with you for about the next 15 minutes, and then we'll throw the rewind back on so you can listen to Chris Bianco's show this morning. And then we got a couple more programs coming up later in the day. But always glad you can join me here on a Thursday for another edition of Taking Care of Business. Hopefully you're getting a little bit out of this. Many of you that call me or email me or text me, usually tell me that you like some of the content. So again, you always, this is your show. So remember, if there's something you want to hear about, something you want me to delve into and expose and kind of enlighten you on, by all means, let me know that. One of the questions we got via email was how to boost your Google search ranking with at all. And the best way to do that is with local content. At Crown Trophy, we have 3 people in our corporate headquarters whose job it is to make sure that if anybody types in trophies in a particular town or a county or a region, the Crown Trophy will come up as the first item in the search list. And when you type in trophies, you may get a response of, you know, 1 of 2 million or something like that. We need to get that down to the spout of the funnel. You know, so when you type in trophies and Flemington, and it says 1 of 2.5 million replies, that's what I call the opening of the funnel. What we're trying to do is get you down to the spout. So, you know, trophies and Flemington and youth sports or something and baseball or something like that. And it should bring you up to Crown Trophy each and every time. And like I said, we have 3 people at corporate who are paid to figure out the algorithms that make that happen. But local content seems to be the way that Google is raising the rankings of local business. So one of the keys to understanding search engine optimization is knowing what search engines look for when they crawl the web for results. And search engines like Google are always striving to return the most relevant, useful results to the searcher. And content is one of the primary ways that Google decides if a website is a good match. Creating content is one of the best ways to help boost your SEO, says Jennifer Sable Lopez, who is the Senior Director of Community and Audience Development at Moz. With no content, there's no reason to come to your website. Content can include a page about your small business, an FAQ page, or even a company blog. If you're not a confident writer, try sitting down with a friend or employee and have them take notes as you talk about what you want customers to know about your business. Then you can go back and rework that information to publish it on your website. The goal is to establish your business as an authority in your field and in your community. Keeping it local is key, Lopez added. If you have a lot of links and shares on social media from people in your area, that signals to Google that lots of people in this area are linking and reviewing this business. It's also important to decide upfront how much time you can commit to updating a blog. You have to keep up on whatever you decide, Lopez said. Over time, that will help bring people in organically. So some great advice there from Google on how local content, updating your website, even customer testimonials, a lot of times, once something is new on your page and people see it, start clicking on it, then all of a sudden, that's going to help raise your search engine optimization. I don't know if you remember this, but way back, probably 10, 12 years ago, Verizon had a spokesperson, and it was a technician that would just walk around various parts of the country. He'd be in the Grand Canyon, he'd be in San Francisco, he'd be in New York, with a tagline, "Can you hear me now?" And that tagline, "Can you hear me now?" was associated with Verizon wireless TV ads that began in 2002 and ended about 9 years later. Now the actor with the horn-rimmed glasses who delivered that famous catchphrase as Verizon's test man character has changed his allegiances. Paul Maccarelli is now a Sprint customer and is appearing in TV spots for the nation's fourth largest wireless carrier, the first of which ran Sunday night during the NBA Finals. Now in the new Sprint ads, Maccarelli calls attention to the fact that Sprint's network is vastly improved. And he says, "Hey, I'm Paul, and I used to ask if you could hear me now with Verizon, but not anymore." After mentioning that he's moved to Sprint, Maccarelli goes on to say that, guess what? It's 2016 and every network is great. In fact, Sprint's reliability is now within 1% of Verizon. Indeed, Sprint's pitch to consumers is that you can get a network that is nearly the same as Verizon's in reliability, but it rates that Sprint claims are half what you'll pay under most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rate plans. Sprint is basing the 1% network reliability differential cited in the ad on its own analysis of independent drive test data from Nielsen covering the top 106 metropolitan markets in the U.S. Sprint did not disclose what it is paying Maccarelli to appear in its ads, and the actor himself was not made available for comment. Back in the day, Verizon was even reluctant to give out too many details about the actor. A Verizon advertising executive told USA Today in 2004 that the company's casting specifications called for an everyday man with something quirky or memorable about them. Maccarelli played a technician whose job was to verify the quality of Verizon's network in all sorts of wayward locations. In a phone interview, Sprint CEO Marcello Claure says Maccarelli was a free agent who was being very factual in the new ads. "Our goal is basically to get people, when they're thinking, when they're watching our ads or watching social media, to pay attention. I think a lot of people are going to recognize Paul and see him in a Sprint-colored yellow T-shirt, ask themselves, what happened?" Now, Claure, who became CEO of the beleaguered carrier in 2014, has been cutting costs as part of a turnaround plan. During the interview, he said that this latest quarter is the first in which Sprint beat both AT&T and Verizon in terms of adding new customers, and the first year among the past few years that Sprint had positive operating income and free cash flow. "We feel very good at where we are and where we are going," Claure says of Sprint, which is owned by Japan's SoftBank. As of March 31st, Sprint says it served more than 58.8 million connections. Still, T-Mobile officially jumped past Sprint last summer to become the third largest carrier in the U.S. The wireless companies are constantly playing a game of one-upsmanship. The new Sprint ad appears ahead of T-Mobile's latest Un-Carrier marketing initiative when it announced it was giving away its stock to customers. And I'll tell you, the first time I saw that commercial with Paul Maccarelli saying that he had switched to Sprint, I was shocked on a couple of different fronts. It was a great coup on the part of Sprint to be able to pull him back and have him talk about leaving Verizon. And he was the tech guy spokesman to now being a customer of Sprint. So I thought that was very clever. I'm also surprised that Verizon didn't have some clause in their contract with him that he could never switch to a different carrier and be a spokesperson for them. You can go pitch pizza if you want, but you can't pitch another cell phone. So I was very surprised that happened. Let's talk about failure for just a minute. Now, anybody who listens to this show knows that I am a big proponent of failure. And the lady sitting next to me right now may be scratching her head saying, what? Failure in business? That's an outrage. But I think it's important sometimes to fail in order to succeed. Now, I realize that that may sound counterintuitive or juxtaposed to the conventional wisdom of rationality, but failure is almost always the only constant that can be conclusively witnessed as a precursor when taking a broad overview of histories, paradigm shifts, evolution of product, and introduction of new ways of thinking. Failure is almost the only endeavor which consistently leads to success, growth, and advancement. It is the string which links each while they develop independently, evolving towards success. Now, I often binge read books, and I've been hoarding up a bunch and finally was able to get through a bunch of them recently, and this year, thankfully, was no different. And the topics covered were wide and diverse, but the one lineage of thought that seemed to come through time and time again was that failure is a forerunner to success. Now, it's without question in my mind the most important of all evolutionary behavior, so deeply ingrained within each of us that it is present in every decision we consciously or subconsciously make from the moment we are born. So think back to the first time you burned your fingers on an open flame. You fell from a height and hurt yourself, or further, still had those precocious moments where you fell before you found your feet to walk those first uncertain steps. The underlying principle of each is the exploration and learning from failure. I would argue that it is the single most important feature that we have evolved. To learn from failure while simultaneously utilizing our intelligence to redevelop theories for future success. Now, what fascinates me most is when some people have this abundance, an unwavering commitment to success, which is only inspired by failure, while others lose the willingness or become scared to even try. Somewhere on their journey, they developed an aversion to failure, which suppresses the opportunity to learn and detrimentally affects their future prospects. Was it at work, where they were conditioned to fear it as a reason for dismissal? Or was it at home, where it was criticized out of them by their parents? The truth is, how or where it occurred is less important than recognition of the fact that it actually did. Some people will continue along this route of cognitive dissonance for a lifetime, purposely ignorant of and unwilling to learn the lessons of failure due to fear of the pain incurred by admitting the hurtful truth of their shortcomings. Recognition, realization, or admittance of an error when it has occurred, then, is the essential necessity of enabling future successes to occur. Identifying an error when it occurs allows you to break free of closed-loop failure, leading to new potential solutions. As it transpires, then, our biggest failure is a failure to recognize and act on it by finding a solution. Our biggest obstacle to success isn't failure, but ourselves and our inability to admit them. Failure can only be tackled if it is first understood and we are cognizant of it. Instead of fearing failure, we must recognize and embrace it as a creative spark which has merely ruled out one possibility while enlightening us to the potential of alternative routes. Success and failure are inexplicably linked. Successful failure can be measured in actions of what you have learned, whereas failure without action leaves the possibility of regret. So there's a couple of examples of people who have failed mightily only to become mightily successful down the road. Let's talk about Bill Gates. Now, Gates wasn't a guarantee of success after dropping out of Harvard and starting a failed first business with Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen called Trafodata. Now, while this early idea didn't work, Gates' later work did, and what he learned from failure leading to the creation of the global empire that is now Microsoft. Walt Disney. Now, today, Disney rakes in billions of merchandise from movies and theme parks around the world, but Walt had a rough start. He was fired by a newspaper editor because he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. After that, Disney started a number of businesses that didn't last too long and ended up with bankruptcy and failure. But he kept plugging along and eventually found a recipe for the success that worked. Albert Einstein. Now, when most of us think of Einstein's name, we immediately think of genius, but he didn't always show such promise. He didn't speak until he was 4 years old, didn't read until he was seven, causing his teachers and parents to think that he was mentally handicapped, slow, and antisocial. Eventually, he was expelled from school and was refused admittance to the Zurich Polytechnic School. Now, it might have taken him a bit longer, but most people would agree that he caught on pretty well, in the end, winning the Nobel Prize and changing the face of modern physics. Well, how about Vincent van Gogh? Now, during his lifetime, van Gogh sold only one painting, and that was to a friend, and only for a small amount of money. Now, while van Gogh was never a success during his life, he plugged on with painting, sometimes starving, to complete his over 800 known works. Today, they bring in hundreds of millions of dollars. J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series, before she published a series of novels, she was nearly penniless, severely depressed, divorced, trying to raise a child on her own while attending school and writing a novel. Rowling went on to depending on welfare to survive to being one of the richest in the world, richest women in the world, in a span of only 5 years through her hard work and determination. And therein lies the rub. Mindless, ignorant, and inconsidered failure that you don't learn from is useless. It hijacks your psychological progress and deters you from trying again. To succeed, you need to ignore everything else and focus on the process of learning from your mistakes. Don't just fail more. Crucially, you have to fail smarter and allow yourself the opportunity to achieve greatness. Your legacy depends on it. It's currently 12:58. You're listening to Taking Care of Business, and in sports, in NASCAR, Joey Logano won last week's Firekeepers Casino 400 race at Michigan International Speedway. This week, the teams have off before traveling next week to Sonoma, California for the first road course race of the year, the Toyota Save Mart 350. NASCAR also fined Kyle Larson's crew chief, docked him 15 points and 15 owner points for failing post-race inspection after last week's race. In the NHL, my son is very happy to report that the Pittsburgh Penguins defeated the San Jose Sharks on Sunday night to become this year's Stanley Cup champions. Tonight, it's Game 6 of the NBA Finals, featuring the Golden State Warriors against the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Warriors lead that series 3-2. In Major League Baseball, in the American League, the Orioles, Indians, and Rangers lead their divisions, while in the National League, the Nationals, Cubs, and Giants lead theirs, and it has begun. It is the third week of June, and the Philadelphia Phillies have dropped to a 4.462 winning percentage, are in fourth place in their division, and 10.5 games back. They have not been mathematically eliminated yet, but it is just a matter of time. Well, it was nice while it lasted. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest."